Last week we began Sha'ar Sheni and his Mavo Shar, his introduction to the whole second section of the book. And the upshot of what we saw last week, is captured in the opening sentence. We'll elaborate on it just to remind ourselves, but we could just start reading the opening sentence of where I want to start with today. This is in my version on page Samach Dalet. If you have the attachment PDF, should be the first page after the three dots, right towards slightly past the middle of the page. Zeha Omid al Dato, the Sam Lefanav Lavod al Atzmo. Avodah Kfula. What emerges from what we saw last week is that a person wants to work on himself, a person wants to be better, wants to be a better person, a better Jew. There is a two-pronged attack. There's two aspects that we need to work on. Therefore, number one, lehitchanech, and number two, lehosif ichut b'kiyum ha-mitzvot. These are the two points that he had mentioned last week, actually in reverse order, but now he's presenting them in the way they're going to prepare for present to a person in a chronological sense. That is to say, last week he said that there's two aspects of Avodat Hashem. Maybe that was a bad choice of words, but of being a good person and being a good Jew. One is Avodat Hashem, Avodah, and the other is what he called Chinuch. What's the definition of Avodah specifically, not just a generic term like I used it lazily 15 seconds ago. But what does he mean specifically, Avodah? So that's what he established at the beginning of the piece. Avodah means to improve the quality of one's mitzvot. Not how many mitzvot, not how much, but specifically the quality. A person could go through the motions in davening, or they could really be into it. They go through the motions of the Daf Yomi Shir, or whatever they're learning, or be really, really into it. Be spiritually reflective, be passionate. You can shake the lulav half asleep. You can put on the tefillin for sure half asleep. Or you can be really into it. To avodas Hashem, said Ravolbi with various proofs, means to enhance the experience, to enhance the quality. However, what he said at the end of last week's show, which is very powerful based on the selection you see a little bit above you from the Shari Kedusha of Rav Chaim Vital, is that there's a second dimension which chronologically and developmentally actually has to come first. And that is not how you do the mitzvos, but how you work on yourself, working on your midos, what he called chinuch atzmi. So he's summarizing that point, that really there's two parts of being a good Jew. One is chinuch atzmi, working on yourself, and then memela, the second part, is not only doing the mitzvos, but doing them at a high level. Okay, so that's the segue. Ulam, he says, second paragraph. There's a fundamental difference between these two. Shona chinuch atzmi mehavoda. Why? Ha'avoda b'tor b'mitzvos mugderes heitev. We know what it means, more or less, to do mitzvos well. You have to think about them. You have to learn about them. The more you learn about something in advance, the more prepared you are, the more meaningful it is, the more thoughtful you are, the deeper you are. We understand what that means, more or less. But on the other hand, umatzot, nosei hachinuch, ina mugdarim klio. Be'ezo midos yesh lechanech. Eifo matchilim. Where do we even start? What does that mean to work on yourself? To try to do mitzvot, to try to do mitzvot well, I more or less know what that means. What does it mean to work on oneself? So here in the third paragraph here, he says something, you know, it's almost obvious at this point, but I think just the formulation catches me. I think it should grab us. I think it's very, very powerful. What is the topic of chinuch? The topic of avodah is mitzvos and Torah. That's what we're working on. What's the topic? What's the field of battle? What's the field of play when it comes to chinuch? Not mitzvos, but rather, no, say, chinuch hu ha'adam. That's not about mitzvos. That's not where the field of battle, the field of play is. It's the person himself. The chol adam, and the entirety of the person, im de'otav shalom, and all the different things that make him or her unique. Harotza lechanech atzmo, and therefore as a result of that initial insight, that leads us to a second incredibly powerful insight. Painful even in some sense. Harotza lechanech atzmo, chayev leda'as es atzmo. If you want to work on yourself and educate yourself, what happens even before that? You have to know yourself. Now that sounds like the most obviously easy thing. I don't know organic chemistry. I don't know, so, you know, constitutional law. I don't really know kashrut well. A lot of things I don't know. But myself, that should be the easiest thing to know. But of course, with any experience and any sophistication, we know that the opposite is true. As Ravolbi himself says in the next sentence, the ein lecha dover yoser kasha milahakir es atzmo. Es midosav hatovos v'haraos v'es l'tiyosav hadakot. There is nothing more difficult than to truly know yourself, to know your true characteristics, your inclinations, the good, the bad, the ugly, and even the very subtle points. Uma ma'od metzuya hashigiyah. And am I pronouncing this next word correctly? Va'ashliya? Ashalia, thank you. I know it means illusions, but I wasn't trying to pronounce it. That's what happens. You mispronounce the words when you're more familiar with them from reading than from talking. So, how common is it to make mistakes and have illusions? Legabe kochot v'midot atzmo. Right? In both directions, by the way. Certain people exaggerate their qualities and their milas. They're delusional in how talented, how beautiful, how smart they think they are. This is a very common problem. But also a very common and very destructive problem are people who misjudge themselves and think, you know, less of themselves than they really are. They're completely off in that regard. Right? Very powerful, very simple, very effective metaphor. Just like a doctor has to take, you know, personal history, has to get to know the patient before you could possibly give an accurate diagnosis. There's so many other factors that go into account. So too, says Ravolbi, if you are trying, you know, physician, heal thyself, in this sense. If we're trying to know ourselves, and we're trying to work on ourselves, we have to know ourselves. And if we don't know ourselves, which is a very hard thing to do, then it is almost impossible that we will get the right diagnosis, let alone the right treatment plan. So within that fact, okay, so now that we understand that chinuch means working on ourselves, that the field of play, the field of battle for avodas Hashem is the world of mitzvot and Torah, but the field of battle, the field of play for avoda is ourselves, and that is complex to read that map, to diagnose that defense and write up a play that's going to get you to the end zone when the field of play is yourself. Very, very complicated. Now he breaks it into two categories, which I think are also very, very helpful. Ulam, and this is going to take us to the end of the piece today. Yesh no chinuch klali, v'chinuch prati. To the extent that it's true, yes, chinuch means working on ourselves, but that's actually not enough. It's too simplistic, we will leave it at there. In fact, there are two dimensions of working on ourselves. Why? Because on the one hand, every one of us, every single person, man, woman, and child, every one of us has things that are unique. On the other hand, not every aspect of you is unique. There are parts of us that are universal. So therefore, the chinuch atzmi is only in one sense truly, truly atzmi, or what he calls prati, really, really unique, really, really individualistic. But many things are relevant to us, again, not in the field of mitzvot and Torah, in the field of humanity and ourselves, but not ourselves, not me as in David Gottlieb, but me as a human being. You can say as a Jew, as a male, whatever, but the point is there are generic parts of me that are also going to have chinuch, even before you get to, or maybe after, but at least in parallel to, the things that are really, really uniquely related to me. Hachinuch haprati. So what we're talking about in the previous paragraph, we really, really have to know yourself. That's talking about what's called, what he calls chinuch haprati. Nivna ayidya yisodit shal kochot hamidot hanetiyot hapoalim b'adam. That is what requires true, thorough, fundamental, you know, no holds barred, bracing honesty about who we are for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And why is that so important? I know a lot of people subconsciously are run away from this. And some people, even consciously, they'll say, Rabbi, it's okay. I'd rather do the trigonometry. Give me some other problem to solve. To work on myself, to know myself, to open up that closet. Who knows what kind of skeletons I'm going to find. Not everyone's interested in doing that kind of work. So you say, what do I need it for? Just tell me. This is the right way to wear the tefillin or the wrong way to wear the tefillin. This hashkocha is good, is not good. Rabbi, I'll do whatever you tell me about that. I got to work on the sugi of myself. What do I need to know that for? Just like I don't know the first paragraph of Yevamos so well, so I don't know this so well. Why is it a big deal? I'm a bad Jew if I don't know every sugya. So this is one of the sugyas I don't know. Why is it so important that I have to know myself, says Ravolbi? For the obvious point, but again, he makes the point clearly. Matarato, why is it so important? What's the purpose of knowing ourselves? Because only if we know ourselves, then nitzol kochot elu l'tova, deberet kochotav haraim, adehagbar kochotav hatovim. Because only if we know ourselves can we take advantage of, can we exploit, in the best sense of the word, our good talents, and also figure out a way to subjugate, to subdue, the things that are not as good about us. Again, it sounds obvious, but again, it's not obvious, you know, ein chavash matir atma beis asurim. It's hard to see that about ourselves. Right? Yes, it's true. This is hard. This can be harder than a difficult Gemara. But much harder, in fact. But the upside is, if we figure out who we really, really, truly are, what makes us tick, then we can then exploit, take advantage of our true talents, and figure out how to way to neutralize or subdue the things which are less good about us. None of that is possible unless you truly, truly know yourself. Obviously, I'm reflecting not only the time of year, but specifically the great moment in history for my hometown, Cincinnati, when I give yet again a football metaphor. But, you know, that's why the coaches watch hours and hours and hours of tape, right? You got to know what you're good at, and you got to know what the other team is not good at, so you could design a play to win. If you don't know any of that, then how are you going to possibly win? That's the sugya of knowing yourself. We got to watch a lot of tape and design the right plays. But if we don't know our strengths and our weaknesses, how are we going to do that? Bara, yeshnam yisodo shekal adam chayev lesagel atzma bli hevdel ezet tchunos ishiyot mahavot et harkavo haprati. So now he reverses track, so to speak. He says, now that I've again focused on what makes you and I and every one of us so unique, he says, but there is a separate parallel track, which is again still in the world of chinuch. We're still talking about working on ourselves. But this is the stuff that doesn't make me more unique than you and you more unique than the next person. Rather, all of us as human beings, there's certain things which are generic and applicable to all of us. Hadavar hadome leklalim mishmir habriot asher harofei madrich behem et kol ha'adam. And he gives again, he goes back to the well a second time. He uses the same metaphor that we had mentioned before about physical health comparable to spiritual health. And I think this is a very effective metaphor. Just like it's true, as he had said previously, that a doctor has to take a personal history and get to know you and understand your heredity and all the other stuff, you know, what you have in your genetics. He has to know you to give a diagnosis. It's true. But nevertheless, it's also true that a significant, maybe even a majority, of the good advice that the doctor is going to give is generic. It's to everybody. As he says here, you know, not overeating, exercising, eating the right foods. He doesn't need to know about me or you to give that advice. That's generic stuff. So too, he says, there's what's called the chinuch haprati. That's knowing your individual history, your unique abilities, your unique talents, nature, nurture, everything that makes you you. But then there's also the more generic stuff, the stuff that's chinuch haklali, that's relevant to everybody. And that itself is, you know, he says here, you know, personal hygiene, he says, top of the next page, if you have the PDF. The next page, nikyon haguf, personal hygiene, and how you take care of yourself, and having a balanced diet. That stuff is standard, he says. You don't need to know specifically about this person. Rather, what's the point here? Chinuch atzmi yisodi ze'eino doresh hakra mufuretet kochra nefesh. What's the point of this? What's the point of the generic stuff, the personal hygiene, the eating a balanced diet, to getting a little exercise, the chinuch klali, la'afsher ha'avoda b'torah b'mitzvot. So la'achshir ta'karka l'chinuch haprati. Again, he dips into a different metaphor, but I think it's a very, very effective one. Sometimes you've got to prepare the soil before you put in the seed. Chinuch haprati is knowing what exactly the seed's going to be. I have to know exactly what seed's going to work here. This is the climate. This is the soil quality. I have to know what seed's going to work here, which might not work somewhere else. But whatever, once I made that decision, I still just can't right away put in the seed. I got to work the land. I got to prepare the land. I got to do the harisha. I got to plow. I got to till. I got to make sure the land is ready to put in the seed. The chinuch haklali, that's the plan. That's getting everything ready. But then knowing exactly how to work on myself, that is the chinuch haprati. Okay, so now we're going to go just towards the bottom of the page, and that'll be we're up to the three dots now. That's, you know, I guess introduction to this final point. Now, in light of all that, he's now about to tell us, you know, as a good author, so to speak. Therefore, in light of that, what is going to be this whole second shar? Why are we in a new section of the book? It says, "Lo nucha lageshet el habir ha'anyanim mibli la'amot al totzot ha'chamorot ha'alot lihivaleid." Excuse me. What I was about to say is coming next. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, but he's about to say something very, very important. This is really, really important. This shows his sophistication. This is one of the, for lack of a better term, you could say even modern, more sophisticated aspects of Rav Volbi that he's very famous for. It says, "I cannot even begin to get into this before I at least give you one more warning." Mibli la'amot al totzot ha'chamorot. I hope I pronounced that correctly. He says, I have to first let you know about a certain danger, a very, very common danger, where people often, in the best of intentions, are reckless in their approach to the chinuch atzmi prati. What happens, for example, he says? One day, asher biyom amdo al dato hichlit lavar al atzma, a person is inspired. This morning, you came to the shir. You saw the beautiful words of all. Please, you know what? So many years I've just been running and doing mitzvahs and learning. I never worked on the sugya of myself. Oh, I'm going to work on myself. It came the moment. But you did ask for light, but you don't understand yourself yet. It's when we're motivated, we're inspired, we want to do something, we want to do something tangible. But if you run before you walk, you will fall. If you're haphazard, if you're reckless in taking things on, more is not always better. And what happens? Hine hu shomea pam. He gives a very powerful example. Again, I don't know if it's so typical at all anymore, and certainly not for adults, but every now and then maybe you can see this with yeshiva guys, or maybe a woman who heard a particular Musar Shir from the Chafetz Chaim campaign, organization or something like that. So sometimes people talk about what he calls Tzom Devarim, or usually we call it Tainus Dibur. So a person says, you know what? I heard this great shiur. I heard about how terrible Lashon Hara is, and I know it's such a difficult thing, and I know that the best way to deal with that is I'm not going to talk anymore. That's going to be my tikkun for Lashon Hara. Or alternatively, a person has Hitzbo Dedut, Hadrushal Avodat Hashem. You heard about somebody who, you know, isolated him or herself, and they were, you know, away from each other, and they were off the mainstream, and, oh, that's what I'm going to do. And you hear about different things. You read about it in Mishpacha magazine, you heard a podcast, and it worked for this person, and it worked for that. And I'm not saying, he's not saying, no, what I would say, that it's not working. Maybe for those people it did work. But recklessly, thoughtlessly, we say, okay, work for him, work for her, we're going to do it for ourselves. Instead, unfortunately, what do? At Atzma HaRuchani Hu Misaken. You're putting the whole project in danger. To start building, to start adding, to start putting ingredients in, and you don't even know if it's right for you or not. A disaster. After all, he says, Ulai Pradzesh Nakat Bo Magbir Yoter Nityotav Ashliyot. Maybe the very ingredient you're adding, the very Kabbalah that you're taking, is going to actually strengthen your worst and most negative qualities. Who said it's going to help? Who said it's going to help? Asher Dafka Otan Hayitzarach La'akor B'Rishonah. Instead of uprooting it, you're actually doubling down. You could be making a horrible mistake. For example, he says, Hanote B'Tivo L'Asfut V'Yiyush, L'Mashal. Right? This is, you know, even more common, it seems, now than it used to be. Right? Kids and adults, frankly, who have anxiety, depression with a capital D, a lowercase d, there are different degrees. But people suffer from all sorts of insecurities, anxieties, sometimes Ramesh depression, Nebuch. And then a person decides, from who knows what reason, because he saw a 10-minute video YouTube clip about Rav Leib Steinman or something like that, and he was such an anav, that's going to be my new avodas Hashem. I'm going to work on my anava. I'm going to work on my humility, my hachna, my shiflos, being a subdued person. What are you doing? You don't realize? You are killing the only hope you have to be a successful person and a successful Eved Hashem. Again, for certain other people, it would have been the right thing. But for you, Dafka, for you, who anyway suffers from anxiety, who anyway has certain low self-esteem, if you're going to focus on this right now, a disaster. You're going to take away the last bit of Simchas HaChayim you have. Right? A person can't be successful in anything in life if they're not aware of their own milas. But if you, who's already prone to this problem, now double down, disaster. Because you're going to misunderstand the mile of Hachna. As a result, you're going to be more odioter b'itzbon rucho. You're going to be more depressed. He doesn't say exactly right, exactly the way I'm about to say it now, but what I think he means, or I think it's plausible, because you might be thinking, which is what I thought the first time I read this, why would a person, even in his theoretical example, why would a person who anyway suffers from insecurities or anxieties, why would that person run to a whole musr and a whole derech avoda that emphasized hachna, which he's saying is completely the wrong thing for the person? Why would a person do such a thing? Exactly. So it took me two times to take Nathan once. It makes sense about a lot of things, right? Exactly. So I just am slower than Nathan. But that's exactly the point. I think that's exactly it. We're attracted to the things that come easy to us. So a person who's by nature insecure is going to love something that inherently could be good, but not good for him at the moment. I will add, by the way, hot take here. Sometimes, girls run to tznius for the same thing. Again, how could, God forbid, I say anything bad about tznius? How could he say anything bad about another? Even tznius can be destructive, overdone, for the wrong place, with the wrong person. Right? How come certain girls struggle with it? And certain girls, dafka, are attracted to it. I'm oversimplifying. There's a million reasons, different answers to that question. But I'm absolutely convinced that one of the answers to the question is, sometimes people who struggle with it have a lot of self-confidence and they want to show themselves, and it's hard to not. So they have to work with that. They're nisayon. But other people who dafka lacking that self-confidence, not feeling good about themselves, they're more than happy to hide. So to know, again, I'm not now discussing what you have to do halachically or you can't do halachically is one thing. I'm talking about, as is Rav Volbi, the emphasis in one area or another. So if you just grab things without thinking, without properly diagnosing what do you need right now, it could be a disaster. And he ends this paragraph with such a powerful phrase, powerful sentence. Lechei, ein lekachet b'shum ofen, mikol ha'ba'al yad, k'dei lavod al tzmo. Says, never, ever, ever take upon yourself something just for the sake of, I'm working on myself. Yeah, this is such a powerful and maybe shocking idea, but it's so insightful and so brilliant. Right? A lot of times you ask a person, why am I doing this? Because I'm working on myself. What could be bad about that? That's supposed to be the means, not the goal. That's the method, not the destination. The goal isn't to work on oneself, l'shem working on yourself. Because there's all sorts of working on yourself you could do which would be disastrous. There's no goal in and of itself to say I'm working on myself. Sometimes working on yourself is worse and more destructive than the person who's blissfully going through life, which clearly Rav Volbi is not a fan of. Of course you shouldn't blissfully go through life. L'chanech, you're supposed to work on yourself. But if the goal is I want to work myself, to work on myself, unless you just get lucky, there's a good chance you're going to be doing the wrong thing. Again, he's not prone to hyperbole, but this is about as strong as I think he writes. Ein l'kachet b'shum ofen. Mikol haba el hayad, never ever do anything just if the purpose is kidei lavar alatzmo. That's a humongous mistake. Now he eventually says here, we're almost done, he says in the next paragraph, he says, in light of all this, of course he points out, kavana shar zehi latet hadracha b'chinuch avodah l'misha adayin lo amad al tchonosav hamyuchadot. Says obviously, right, this is obvious, right, now that he's talking about how personal this stuff is, you can't write a book that's going to speak about this personal stuff, right, because that's something that's going to depend on every person. So how do you write a book about the topic? So he admits, obviously, what he has to focus on in this whole section is that other part. Again, not avoda. Avoda is about mitzvahs and Torah. Here we're going to be discussing chinuch. Chinuch means working on the person. But as we said, working on the person is itself in two layers. There's what makes you, you, and you unique, not me. There's also the stuff that we all share in common, the overall generic human condition. That's what he's going to have to focus on, because you know what else could you do in a book? And he's going to focus on the things which he calls inyanim chiyunim, the very vital, important things that are for this. And let's finish up with the last three lines. Kol ha'avoda musarit hinei rabba hashba. And last but not least, this is also true about what he's saying now, but I think it's true about a lot of other things as well. He says, this avoda of musar, of really working on ourselves, of being self-reflective, says this has tremendous power, tremendous implications. And therefore, im einu zehira mudrechet yafeh, he alul lavi zakim chamorim l'adam ha'oved. But the more powerful something is, the more dangerous it is. Right? Somebody once gave me the mashal years ago. They were talking about Torah, but making the same point, because I think this is true not about Musa, it's true about Torah. There's nothing more powerful than Torah. But someone said the mashal, right? There's a reason that if you drink too much orange juice, too much milk, you can get yourself sick. But there's no warning label on the orange juice. There's no warning label on the milk. There's a warning label on Advil or on medicines, right? Because certain things, the stronger they are, the more obviously dangerous they are. Of course, you can make anything damaging, but if it's weaker, it would take that. That's not going to happen by accident. But medicine is something powerful. That you have to be really, really careful. Torah generally, and he says, working on yourself, taking these, really digging deep, opening yourself up to begin with, let alone trying to make personal changes, very, very powerful. And therefore, you have to be so careful you don't do the wrong thing. It'll have lasting impact on you when you make these kind of changes and really dig deep. On the one hand, that should give you encouragement that if you can really work on yourself in the right way, it'll have massive downstream impact for good. But also, we have to realize that we're dealing with something powerful. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be careful. Not extreme, and as he says, don't just jump at things because, you know, you went to a shir, you went to a vod, you saw a Tisha B'Av video, and all of a sudden, again, I'm not being mezalzel on any of those things, but they have to be processed thoughtfully and maturely, says Rav Volbi, with sophistication, and not just haphazardly, and just doing something for the sake of doing something. Right? Again, not my area of expertise, but I'm quite sure that this is a common problem in business. Also to people, they do things just for doing things, or just because the competition or the other company did the thing. And if you don't understand yourself, and you understand what really makes you or your company or your personality or your marriage or your children or whoever work, then just doing things, l'shem doing things, can be a disaster. You have to figure out what really works for you, and that requires really, really knowing yourself. Okay? Shkoyach.